Let me just briefly pray. Lord, I just pray that you will use these simple words, Lord. Bless them to our hearts and in your service, to your honor and to your glory, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, when you got up this morning, did you read your Bible? Lots of nods around. Well, that's good. I want to talk today about how important it is that we actually get into the Word of God, that we sit and read and study. Lots of good stuff in the Bible, lots of challenging stuff, lots of lessons for us to learn and so on. But unless we actually sit down and read it and spend time studying it, we'll never know in any more than superficial detail what's there. It's time for us to sit and read and study the Word of God. Now, there are lots of other texts that are around that you will read, that I read, and they are a blessing, I'm sure. But the important thing for you and me to do is to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. We can learn of God's love. We can learn of His faithfulness. And He is an ever faithful God. We can hear Him speak to us individually through what we read. That small, still voice. We can grow in our faith. We can grow in our understanding. And of course, we can learn of the events that happened before Jesus was born, during His life, and of course, after He returned to heaven, the things that happened then. But if you don't read it, if you don't sit down and study it and look at the connections all the way through, you miss out on all that. And there are several things that we need to do as disciples of Jesus. Obviously, the first is to love God and our neighbor, love one another. We need to pray and praise and worship God. And as I said, we need to study the Bible, study the Word of God. It's the only way to get fed. You know, we use the analogy, don't we, that if you don't eat, you'll waste away. And in the same way in your Christian life, if you don't get in the Word of God and be fed by the Word of God, you'll waste away. It's important. It's food to our soul. It's food to our mind. It's food to our body. But it's a way of praising God. It's a way of learning about God. And we certainly don't want to waste away. Now, I've heard many, many times people say, oh, I haven't got much time, you know. It's very difficult. Time is precious. And it is precious, you know. Is there enough time in the day for you to study and to pray and to worship God? Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Get up an hour earlier. Be committed. Get up a bit earlier and sit before you do anything. Maybe make a cup of coffee and sit with a cup of coffee and pray and read the Word and listen to what God has to say to you. Adjust what you're doing in the day. Adjust your times. Put God first. Start the day with Him. And I tell you this, it will make such a difference in your life. Your understanding, your knowledge, your relationship with God, it will change if you give yourself a routine and sit there and study the Word of God every day. Every day. Make it a habit. It's a good habit, but make it a habit. One that you become dependent on. I think that's really good that you do that, that you feel that you've missed something. If you actually don't sit and start the day with the Lord. I've written here that it's better than Weetabix. It's better than Kellogg's. There's no sugar in it either. There you go. Hey. Honey. Honey's bad for you too, with all the sugar. There you go. It's better than what the world can provide you with. It's the only way to start your day. It's the best way to grow. And it's a good discipline for disciples to have, to start the day with the Lord. So, my advice, if you can take it or leave it, but my advice is get up a bit earlier. Have some time with the Lord. It will make a difference. And in fact, it will make a big difference. You know, sometimes we read all the nice things in the Bible, all the comforting things, all the things that make us feel good. And they're all great. There's nothing wrong with those at all. But, you know, there are some things that are challenging that we also need to know and learn and understand. And the only way we will know and learn and understand those things that are a challenge to us is if we sit and read and think about them and absorb them into our hearts and minds and spirits and understand them. We read, don't we, that God will strengthen us. That's a great one. We read that God loves us. That is a great one. We read that Satan is defeated. Well, that's wonderful too. And we read that heaven awaits us. All good things to know. And we rejoice in all of those wonderful things. And we praise God for all those things and his love and for the joy that he brings us through those words. But as I say, there are some verses, some that we perhaps pass by, some that we skate over, some challenges that we think, well, maybe tomorrow. Challenges that we need to think about in our lives if we want to grow and become more like Jesus. Things that will stir us up, stir our spirits up, and things that will move us into action. So this afternoon, I'm going to draw our attention to a few verses that are not necessarily the popular ones. And that's not to say that the popular ones are not important. They are. But I'm going to just refer to a few of the ones that you might not study so closely. John 3:16, you all know that one. Oh, great, how wonderful. Great, 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 great. These are not quite like that. So if you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to each one just so that you get used to turning the pages of the Bible in readiness for tomorrow morning when you get up an hour earlier. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short or come short of the glory of God. That's us. We're sinners. Praise God, we're sinners saved by grace. And only through the grace of God are we saved. But we are sinners. Thanks to Adam and Eve. But thanks to Adam. You know, he wasn't born to die. He was born to live and be in communion with God and to praise God. And when he took of the apple, as it's described in the third chapter of Genesis, you know what he said? It's your fault, God. You gave me this woman. That's what he said to God. It's your fault. You gave me this woman and she gave me the apple. He tried to blame anything other than himself for the fact that he sinned and changed the world. You know, Satan came and questioned them and said to Eve, did God really say that? Can't you eat of that tree? And you know, Satan, he's a a clever deceiver. He could even make paradise as it was seem as though there was something falling short there. And Eve took the apple and gave it to Adam, and their righteousness, which they were clothed in, went. And of course, then they knew that they were naked and hid from the Lord, and the Lord came and said, "Where are you, Adam?" Of course, he knew where they were. He wanted their response. Fallen. All have sinned right from that very onset. And you know, we're talking about chapter 3 of Genesis. We're just a few words into the Bible. And there it is. It tells us that all of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And it is only now, thank God, through the blood of Jesus, that we can be forgiven. And again, a number of us have said from this platform how wonderful it is that we live in this time of the new covenant under the blood of Jesus. I once started to count up how many sacrifices the Jewish nation had to complete. I soon gave up on counting. They did hundreds upon hundreds, and thousands upon thousands of animals were killed and blood was shed. And yet they had to come back again and again and again. But for us, there was one sacrifice, the sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, we can come to God, praise his name, and thank the Lord that the old has passed away and all has been made anew. So although we are sinners, although we have fallen short of the glory of God, nonetheless, we are saved by his grace. We become sons, daughters of God, adopted into his wonderful family. Just turn the page a couple. Romans 5, verse 3. But we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Yeah. Ouch. Come to Jesus, all will be fine. If you look at the world today and what many, many Christians are having to face, even in this country, it's starting, quite clearly is starting. You stand in the street and talk about Jesus and you'll get arrested. There's a woman recently who stood in the street and prayed and she was arrested. There was that guy, I can't remember his name, who was arrested for preaching the gospel in this Christian country. We might be ill, we might have pain and loss and suffering, but what did Jesus say? I have overcome the world. He doesn't say you won't have trouble. He doesn't say that things sometimes might be difficult. What he says is, I'll stand with you. I'll see you through. We'll get there. And if you suffer, you'll count it all joy, won't we, David? That's what David spoke on the other week. We'll count it all joy, and we'll grow, and we'll persevere, and we'll grow deeper in the love and faith and grace of God. Amen. Count it all joy. He has overcome the world. So although we might not welcome some of the things, the challenges that we face, the loss, the sadness, but we know that through it all we have his strength, his abiding love, and he will bring us through. He will bring us through. Old Testament, Proverbs 3, verse 11, if you've got your Bibles. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke. It's going to tell you off, Rob. Oh, ouch. It's going to tell you off. Sometimes you might just waver, wander off. And as saints of God, we don't look to do that. We don't seek to do that. We want to keep our eyes on Jesus. But, you know, he wants to keep us straight. He wants to keep us right. He wants to keep us on that path. Yes. Do you remember as a child ever being chastised by your parents? I do. My dad spanked me once. I mean, really spanked me once. And that was years ago. And I still remember it like that. And our God in heaven, he wants the best for us. He wants us to have good things in life, to be full of joy, to be full of his grace and his happiness. And the fact that he might guide us, correct us, put us right, is because he loves us and because he wants us to draw closer to him in holiness. And unless we are right with him and obey his correction, obey what he says to us, well, that's how to become closer to God. And through that correction, he motivates us. Yes, sometimes he might say, oh, I wouldn't do that. When we're out on our bikes, Andrew and I, we're following people, and we go around a corner and we say, I wouldn't do it like that. And pick them up off the floor. And that's what the Lord does. He picks us up off the floor when we fall. He guides us. He disciplines us as a loving Father. Because he wants us to grow, because he wants to make us holy, because he wants the best for us, and because he wants us to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. Okay, get your thumb going. Mark 11:25. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Well, here's a challenge. Do you hold anything against anyone? You think, oh, I can't put up with him. Oh, it's him speaking again. Oh, no. Oh, Father, forgive me. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to say. Father, forgive me. He has already forgiven you, and he has forgiven so much. So much in terms of your life and mine. And yet he says, if you have anyone that you hold anything against, even the slightest grudge, you just need to question yourself and put it right. And put it right with that person. David, don't do that again. All right. Oh, I'm sorry, David. Put it right. Put it right. Be like Jesus. Forgive. What did he say on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. If he could say that on the cross, how much more easily should and readily should we say, oh, I'm sorry, or I'm sorry I offended you, or say it doesn't matter, move on. Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Amen. Oh, you know what I've done today? Oh, I'm proud of that. Oh, that was fantastic what I did there. We need to be humble. Humble before the Lord. Who are we compared to who he is? And if we are humble before God, he will give us the victory. So not to be arrogant, but to be humble. Not to be proud. Not to be full of our own importance, but to be like Jesus. What does the word say? It says, I must decrease, so that he can increase in our lives. So that when people see you, when people see me, they see something of Jesus. Something of Jesus. We're not there, we're a work in progress, but You know, if they see something of Jesus, it might spark something in their lives to say, I want what you've got. I want the life that you've got, the peace, the joy, the happiness, the grace that God has given to you. How wonderful is that? And there's only one way to do that, and that's to put Jesus front and center in your life. If you don't put Jesus front and center in your life, it means that there is something else front and center in your life. Put Jesus front and center in your life, and all these things will be added unto you. All these other things will be added unto you. And I'll come back to that shortly. And we know the phrase, don't we? It's not me that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So be humble and you will win the victory. But it will be the right victory. It'll be the victory that the Lord wants you to win through his grace and through his plan that he has for you in your life. Back to Psalm 37 and verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently. Wait patiently for him. I want it now. I want it now. I went to a meeting on Wednesday night with a few of folks from here. I have a watch that tells me how loud the sound is. And it was 90 decibels. 90 decibels. And my watch actually said, do not stay in this environment, it's bad for you. And I was in the presence of the Lord. So, but it was the noise. It was so loud. Incidentally, I went back on Friday night. And you know, it was just the same. And my watch said the same thing. It's 90 decibels in here. There is a time to be still before the Lord. To listen for that still, small voice. And then to obey that still, small voice. I mean, the services that we went to, they were great. They were good. Just that they were noisy. I think they think the Lord's deaf. He's not deaf. And there's nothing wrong with shouting about the Lord. But there is a time to be silent. There is a time to listen. There's a time to listen for that still, small voice. That voice in here that says, go do this, go do that. And when we hear that still, small voice, do something about it. Do something about it. If it says, go do this, go do that, go do it. Go do it. It says we need to wait patiently for God. You know, his ways are not our ways. His timing is not our timing. Yet we know he is faithful for all eternity. We are people of time. He's not. He's a God of eternity. And if we say we want it and we want it now, it makes no difference to God. He's a God of eternity, not a God of time. He doesn't live in time. And his love for us in terms of those things that we ask him for and desire from him, well, his love endures forever, and it'll turn up when he says so. So if we wait on the Lord and are of good courage, he will strengthen our hearts. So be patient. It's a challenge. We want that extension done quick. The Lord will sort it. The Lord will provide. And it will come together, but in the Lord's time. But make it soon, Lord. Be patient. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Don't sow sparingly, because if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Sow generously, and you will reap generously. The verse is a caution and a promise. The caution is, don't be mean with how you spread the word of God, where you spread the word of God. Sow it generously, and you will reap abundant rewards. And that is about submitting to His will. And the more we submit to His will, the more I'm sure He will and does bless us, and the more we will receive His love, His grace, that undeserved love that we have given from Him, His grace. We don't do good things in order to be saved, in order to get to heaven. We are saved, children of God, and therefore we do good things. It's the other way about. Commit yourself first to the Lord. Seek His will, and then do those good things, those righteous things that He wants you to do. We can't earn our own salvation by any stretch of the imagination. And you know, there are a lot of good people in this world who are not saved. They do lots of good things, and yet it's as filthy rags. It's as filthy rags. What a waste. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ first. Put Him first. Put Him center. And then get about our Father's business, doing good to the poor and needy and whatever. But the first priority is to turn to God, love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor. So sow generously, and you will reap generously. We've been looking at Colossians between me and Andrew. Bit of rivalry, not at all. Colossians 1, verse 1. Be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that we will endure and have patience. Oh, here it is again. You know, we do have moments of impatience, don't we? We can be impatient about things that happen, sometimes impatient about things that don't happen. Sometimes we have to give up on things that we want to happen. Sometimes we can be frustrated by things that do happen. We have to be patient. As I've said, God is not a God of time. He's a God of eternity. So this says to me, endure, stand firm, give way to God's time. His ways are different from our ways. And of course, He knows best. He knows best. 1 Timothy 6. I think it's verse 6. My writing's terrible. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Be content with what you have and where you are in your life. That doesn't mean to say it won't improve. By God's grace, it will. But be content. Our human hearts are prone to want more. And especially in these modern times, in this technological age, the kids want more and more and want it sooner. Again, it's about letting Jesus take center stage. Materialism can be center stage, and that's not right. I thank God that the Lord has given me a great life. But the important thing in life is not what you have or who you are. It's about putting Jesus first, putting Him center, and then all these things will be added to you. So in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path to the right place. Love the Lord with all your heart, and all these things shall be added to you. He gives us life and gives it us more abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think or need. So seek the fullness of God, put Him center, put Him first, and all these things will be added unto you. What a great God we have. All these verses point to the ways we should seek to live. How we should be committed to God, committed to Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to be committed to Him, to worship Him, to own Him as the one and only true God, to worship Him. Our faith cannot be part-time. We can't be lukewarm. Read Revelations. You'll be spat out. Doesn't like people who are Sunday go-to-church Christians. He wants your life 100%. It's not a bad thing to give your life to God 100%. It might be a challenge, but it's not a bad thing by any stretch of the imagination. He wants you hook, line and sinker. He wants all of you. And what do we get in return? Everything. All of Him. Everything. Everything. We get everything then because of Jesus. He wants us to be wholly devoted to Him. Wholly devoted to Him. He wants us to worship Him and only Him. No idols. And there are lots of things in this modern world that can be idols. No idols. Nothing before God. Worship Him only. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's Him who shows us the way. Him who shows us where to go. And if He's not front and center, then who are we following? Whose light are we seeing? Put Jesus first. Put Him right there. And all these things will be added unto you. So, my message relatively brief today because we've got some pictures to see that are important. But if we want to grow in the Lord, if we want to develop and mature in the Lord, in Him, if we want, as I'm sure we do, we want to bring others to Him, and if we want to serve, if we want to be sons and daughters, then get up that hour earlier. Get in the Word. Get close to God. Listen to what He has to say. Because in those times when you are on your own with the Lord, that's when He will speak to you. That's when He will say, do this, do that, don't do that. Love me with all your heart. Remember what I have done for you. You know, we've said before that God's love is a sacrificial love because He gave. He gave and He gave. And so it is for us, we too. Our love should be sacrificial, sacrificial love. We should go that extra mile. We should be a living sacrifice to God, to His love, to worship Him, to be loyal to Him and Him alone. Just stop and think what He did for you and for me. What He did for the whole world, in fact. Not just you and me, but the whole world. And there are millions in the world who reject it. Don't reject it. Don't accept it in part. Accept it 100%. The advert says that things go better with Coca-Cola. Big company Coca-Cola. No. Things go better with the Lord. In your heart, in your mind. Leading you in the right way, in the right path. Things go better with Jesus. With Jesus. So, we are such a privileged people. Don't sit on our hands. It's time to do our part. Time to get on with the work that He has set out for us to do. And if you don't know what the work is that God has set out for you to do, then seek His face and ask Him to tell you. Tell Him to show you in some way. I know we've had conversations about how do you hear the voice of God? And it could be any one of many, many different ways. But I like that notion of that still small voice that is in your head that says, do this, do that, follow me, love me, serve me, be my disciple, draw near to me. And if we draw near to God, what happens? He draws near to us. You know, in the biker world, there's a group called the One Percenters. And I've been riding with a guy who's a one percenter. They have a tattoo on their hand here, 1%. And they are the violent wing of the Hell's Angels. And they would go about committing crime and doing all sorts of things for whatever reason they thought was good, even to their own kind. They would have wars between bikers and stab one another and do all sorts of terrible things. And you know why? Because they've only got commitment of 1%. 1%. What we need is that commitment of 100%. Suffer, little children, to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Praise God. Wonderful. Yeah. Pray that she grows up to be a child of God. Amen. Also giving 100% yes. to the Lord, because that is the only way. Draw near to Him and He will draw near to you. Praise God. So let's sit and look at these films and pictures of things that we have done as part of the calling that we've had around the world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added unto you.
Thank you.